Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy love, Thy kindness. We thank You that we can gather around Thy Word and around the truth of this book. Father, we're so grateful for the privilege and the honor to be able to come to You and ask these requests of You. We know that You listen to us. We know that You respect our thoughts and what's heavy on our heart. You can comfort. Father, we're just grateful for all of that. We're grateful for those that came to be with us today and fellowship and joined us on the internet. Father, we're just grateful for the food that people have brought. We're just so thankful for all that we have. And most of all, that You're here in our lives and that You're part of it. You're the main part of it. You're all the reason for living. And we're grateful for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to kind of continue on with where I was. Go to Colossians and turn there. And I want to deal with your ministry. And I believe you've got a ministry. I believe everyone that's saved here, there isn't any doubt in my mind that God has called you to do something. And my encouragement would be, whatever that is, get on with it and do it. Whatever it is. I don't really know what it is. Don't come to me and ask me. I'm not God. You may want to ask God what your ministry is. But some of it won't be hard to find out. It's whatever you enjoy doing for the Lord. God isn't going to give you a ministry that you go like this. Man, I got to go do that. I've watched people give with that attitude. Can you imagine that? I mean, they're like, I got to give this money up. No, you don't. But if that's your ministry, you ought to. You know, talking about attitude, I was going to read Colossians first. Go to 2 Corinthians. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to understand, you know, the people that have a ministry of giving or whatever it is, whether it's teaching, exhortation, I'm just using giving as an example because everybody seems to somehow think that's their ministry. And I don't know that it's everybody's ministry, but it is some people's ministry. But now I want you to listen to this. Verse 6. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall what? And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you have a ministry of giving, what would that be like? Do you think you go around saying, well, I'm just going to put in the minimum? Honestly, you think that would be the person who God has given the ministry of giving, going around saying, well, I'm just going to put in my 2 cents worth, knowing that you're not only going to get 2 cents back? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it just doesn't even make sense, does it? Does it? No, it doesn't. And so, when you talk about it, verse 7, he says, every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not what? Can you imagine being grudgingly, and I'm going to use this as any ministry you have, like you got to preach. You go, man, I got to preach for Barry Wednesday night. Well, that's your attitude. Probably God hadn't called you to do that. All right, hey, I'm going to help the church put a new roof on. And you show up and you're Mr. Grumpy that morning. Now, I understand if you fell out of bed and you had a rough morning. But you know what? When you go to do whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Be happy about it. Be a servant. Be that one of, hey, I want to really please my Lord and Savior today. And you know what? You show up with a good attitude. Can you imagine working for somebody and say, well, I really like working for this. And every time you show up, you're like, oh, I can't believe they want me to work on this day. And we'll go, well, you don't have to work at all. Quit. I mean, that's no honor to the people that you're working for. I love Terry. I've seen Terry grow over the years that I've known him. And it's been a great honor to watch him grow. I think the family helped a little bit. But he was irresponsible as all get out. It was a shame to the Lord. He told me one time he left on a Saturday and said, I'll see you Monday. I didn't see him for 2 years. That's true, isn't it? But he doesn't do that to his boss anymore, thank God. And he realizes that boss is taking care of him and he wants to take care of the boss. You know, there was a story about two guys in a railroad thing, and they were out there working on the rails, and this fancy caboose-type train backed up into the thing. And it was the president of CSX. And he looked out in the field and he said, "Hey, Bill, how are you?" He said, "Is that the president? Does he know you personally?" He said, "Yes, yeah." And so he goes in there and has lunch with him and comes back out. And he says, "Well, how do you know the president of CSX?" He said, "We started the same day." He said, "Well, why are you still out here in the yard?" See, he said, "The president went to work for CSX, and I went to work for a paycheck." You know what I mean? Same thing with the Lord. You know, there's some people that are doing it as a show of the flesh and a show of this. That isn't impressive to God. You know what? You need to be on fire for the Lord. Amen? You need to get fired up about Jesus Christ. Amen? Fire it up. Let me hear you.
Fire
it up. You know, come on, you need to be. People say, "Well, you ought not to be a motivational figure." When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be motivated by His blood. By His shed blood, it ought not to take a whole lot and say, "Well, why did Barry show up today?" Because it's the greatest news I've got. There isn't anything that I'd rather share with anybody than the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, "Well, you sure get fired up about it." Amen. It means something to me that a Savior went to the cross and died on that cross for me. I mean, isn't the half a sense, "I'll show up when I can," or "I'll do this when I can"? I'm here every Wednesday and every Sunday, not because I have to, but because I love it. Amen?
Amen.
I love preaching the truth. I love sharing this book. I love to see people's eyes open up and see the truth. It still thrills me 25 years after the day I got saved. I'm delighted. Norm texting me, "What about this?" Bronx texting me, "What about that?" Praise God. There's nothing I'd rather do. If it comes down to talking about this book, I'm interested. Amen? You don't have to, you don't have to motivate me. You know, if you go to your ministry and you're like grudgingly like, quit. Not doing you any good. You got a bad attitude, straighten out your attitude. Look what it said. Not grudgingly. Or of necessity. "Well, I'm a member of the church. I guess I have to do it." Really? You don't have to do anything. Sit back. You know what will be fascinating? You don't have to do a thing. You know what? If you quit, somebody else will replace you. Do you know that? "So I'm just a pew warmer." Hey, we'll find some more of them. You know, say, "Well, I'm a cameraman. I don't want to do it anymore." Hey, great, quit. I'll find another cameraman. The Lord knows you're out there. "So I don't want to switch the switcher anymore." Hey, you don't have to. Listen, God will replace you. You're not that big of a person. And you know what? You didn't hear Wayne in the background. He said, "Yes, he is." You know, he's actually gotten funnier since we put him in the room again. Have you noticed that? Anyway, you know, if I decide tomorrow I'm not going to preach anymore, you know what? I bet George would like to stand behind this pulpit, or maybe Terry, or maybe Norm here eventually. Maybe Jim. Somebody would stand. Maybe Bill Brown. Maybe Bill will step up and really be the man of God and stand up in this pulpit and start preaching in my place if I quit. You know what? Listen, let me tell you what. Ain't anybody in this room indispensable, and God can replace you. So you don't have to have it. You don't have to do it of necessity. Please don't come out of necessity. Don't give because you think you have to give. Don't preach because you think you got to do it. Amen. Do it because you want to. And when you show up, you know what? You don't have to tell me what to do. You know, Stan's kind of taking on putting the cameras up and getting them ready. I don't even think about the cameras. Used to be, I thought about the cameras all the time. He's doing a good job at his ministry. Just fed up. Say, what happens with my foot? We'll find someone to replace you. You know, the way these diabetics go, we end up with no legs. We'll just be on a stool and you can spin us real easy. We won't hit the wall. So don't give up grudgingly. Don't give your time grudgingly. Don't act like it's a big deal. You know what? We're not impressed when you show up. What are you, you're impressed with yourself? The Bible says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. You ought to come because you love it. And you want to be here. And you enjoy being here. Amen? If you don't, stay home! Please, I beg of you, stay home. Heard an old preacher on the radio the other day coming back from Kentucky. He had a great attitude. He said, you know, always trying to get people in the church. Always trying to get people in the church. He said, but some of those people need to stay out of the church. They'll wreck a church. They're backbiters and bad attitude and hatred and don't appreciate the work of the ministry. And they'd be better outside the door than in the church. And that's true. That is true. Heard another preacher one time preaching. He says you got to get rid of the bad seed. Well, if they won't come to the Lord, then you got to get rid of them. Chase them off. Well, verse 7 again, he says, every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you give of your time, be thrilled that you can give of your time. That is one cute kid. I cannot figure out how Bill was involved in that. Can someone tell me that? That is one kid. You see that kid? That's my grandbaby. I've adopted him. Don't get to see him. They never bring him by. I never spends the night with me anyway. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what? Listen. You know how much to give financially? No, I don't want it to hurt. You know what? Go over to the plate and you keep dumping in your money until you can start to giggle about it. When you giggle and we hear you laugh in the back, you have given the exact amount. Okay? Now, if you show up to work, work until you start laughing so hard you can't work. That's enough. You understand? If you're cooking for the church like you did this morning, I bet some of you, now I don't know you, but I know my house. My wife is always right. And we were running along like chicken with our heads cut off. And I said, well, nobody asked you to do anything. You volunteered for that. Don't get all excited now. We're committed. I said, work until you can laugh about it. She goes, I don't even care if it works anymore. I said, that's enough. Amen? You don't have to, hey, don't make it a challenge. It's the Lord you're serving. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that went to the cross and died for your sins and gave you full redemption for all that you've done. Don't make it a challenge. Don't work it so hard that you like, oh, I'm working so hard for Jesus. Really? Smile a little bit. Amen? You know, Brother Moore used to do this. Hold up a hand like that. Go ahead, everybody. Hold up your hand. Hold up your other hand. And put it right here. And push up. I love that. If you're not serving the Lord with gratitude and with right attitude, quit. You're wasting everybody's time. I love this. Verse 7 again. One more time and we're going to read verse 8. Every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Isn't that the most... God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Say hallelujah. He's going to make grace abound toward you. He's going to dump grace on you. He is going to lay it on your lives. Say, my life isn't going all that well. Hey, praise the Lord. Say, my pants are too tight. Praise the Lord. Better than starving to death like mine, I'm about to fall out of these. Having to pull them up. Say, preacher, you ain't falling out of any pants. Hey, God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Isn't that incredible? How can you outgive God? What are you afraid of? Hey, get after whatever that ministry is. Get after it like you really mean it. Show it. I'd like for you guys to ultimately push yourself to the utmost limit in your ministry. What can you do? Could you show up every Sunday? Could you show up every Sunday and Wednesday? What can you do that would be, man, I'm really pushing it, and you think, man, I'm really tearing it up. And you're giggling. Can you imagine if we really got out and witnessed and really got out and talked to some people about the grace, what would happen to this fellowship right here? It's your ministry. Terry, it's your ministry. Larry, it's your ministry. Jackie, your ministry. Dale, your ministry. Gene, it's your ministry. Bronx, it's your ministry. Chris, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. He's for Auburn. You gotta bless him, you know. He came in and said War Eagle, and after that, that is a true fan. And that's how you got to be toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When things are going back, yell out, praise the Lord! It's like saying War Eagle or Roll Tide. Just when all hell is breaking loose and Georgia is eating your feathers, this is what you do. You go, War Eagle. Go ahead. Oh, you guys don't even mean it. Come on, let me hear you say it. I'm gonna give Alabama a chance. Just give them. We feel sorry for
him. He's not gonna say Roll Tide. So.
Yes, for the demonstration, he can pull this out. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
And then you got Alabama. Now they're like winning all the games, and they don't really need you. They have got a team. Where you're cheering on Auburn because they don't have a team right now. Exactly. I'm telling you, this is an Alabama fan back there. They just don't know yet. So anyway, they don't need it. But you know what you do? You do it anyway. In the up times and in the down times, you say what? Roll Tide. Go, Roll Tide. And so you cheer them on. And you know what? In the good times and in the bad times, you know what you do with Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. You see, it doesn't really matter whether you're up on top of the mountains or you're down in the valleys. You know what? Praise Him for all that He's done. Amen? And you rejoice in the fact of what Christ did for you at the Calvary. Say, everything in my life ain't going great. You know what? If you expected it to be great every day, you're naive. Welcome to planet Earth. Amen? I mean, if you thought... I've always been impressed with salespeople. This is for Tony. You know, most people, and he knows this for a fact, most young salespeople come in and they get a sale and they go, wow, sales are going up. And they think, well, I got another sale, it's going to come. And you know what? They don't really expect it to go bad. But you know what? Then the next month they don't make but one sale and they're way back down in the valley. Amen? And that's how life is. You know what? If you don't get it after walking around on the planet Earth for a few years, you need to sit down and talk with me. Say, how bad can it get? I can tell you, it can get bad. How about if you lost one of your kids? Would you still praise the Lord then, would you? Would you really sit down and write it as well with my soul? When peace like a river attendeth. I mean, come on, would you write those words after your family was completely annihilated? See, He's not just the good time of the mountaintops. He's the God of the valley too. Amen? He's not just the God of the roofs and the ceilings and the mountaintops. He's the God of the valleys. And listen, let me tell you what. When you start to understand your ministry, it doesn't matter. You're going to have some good days and bad days. Amen? You're going to have those. It's going to come. You just push through them. That's what you do. Not for your sake, but for Christ's sake. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. See, I believe grace enters not just at a place called a word, but grace enters the heart of the believer. And grace fills and sustains the believer for all that he needs. See, you know, people say, well, what is this Grace Church thing? Well, listen, once you get grace in your heart, it's hard to go back and look at all the other garbage we were involved in. Amen? I mean, it's kind of hard to believe it, but somehow we found God and all that. Well, we didn't. And most of us were lost in those other churches. Amen? And we get here and we finally hear the gospel. We receive Christ. And you know what? Listen, when you get that, live grace. You know what? I was down in Mobile and the guy says, some grace preachers don't have any grace. I thought, that's true. And wouldn't that be a shame to be a grace preacher and not have any grace? Lighten up. Amen. Everybody around you doing everything you want them to do? No. Praise the Lord anyway. You know what? There's only one ministry you got to worry about, and that's yours. Don't worry about anyone else's. Don't think, hey, if this person did that or if that person did this, how about what you do? And do your ministry as the man or woman of God or children. You know, children have ministry too. You children, listen to me. You know what your ministry is? There's only two commandments in this Bible toward kids. William, are you listening, buddy? Here it is. He took the bottle out. He's listening. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You children, say that with me. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Say it again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's your ministry. And to honor your father and your mother. You know what? We used to set up rules for our kids. I tell you, that was the dumbest thing I ever did. You know, okay, on Tuesdays and Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays is your day to do the dishes. Mom will do it Tuesday and Thursday to give you some relief, and you do it on Friday and Saturday. And we split the week up. Well, Mom got sick one time, and I told one of the kids to go in and says, that isn't my day. And you know what? He was right. Wasn't his day. So we erased all the rules in our house. You know how many rules there were in our house? Just two. Guess what they were? Children, obey, and honor your mom and dad. That's all you got to do. Two commandments. It's not hard. There wasn't like, you're going to clean your room every day. If I told them to clean their room every day, children, obey your parents. That's their ministry. And it doesn't really matter. And I know this is good for them, and aren't you glad you brought them today? What? What?
He's
deaf. Huh? I get a little deaf to sometimes what God said too. I was playing with Chris. You know, I'm just like a kid too. Amen. The Lord trying to tell me something, and I'm like, I don't want to hear it, Lord. Now, it usually not happens in the bathroom. It's usually when I'm reading the Word of God. But I mean, you know, listen to me, kids. You want to do a great job? Honor your mom and dad. Make them. People go, man, your parents must be phenomenal. Because you honor them in your behavior. Boy, wouldn't that be great? And obey. You know, I thought about that ministry of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham says, why don't you carry this wood up the hill and we'll go up to offer sacrifice. And Isaac goes, yes, Dad. Puts that wood up, type of carrying the cross. And he goes up there and they're building an altar, and but there's no sacrifice. And he tells Isaac, I want you to lay down up there. Now, if that had been my kids, I'd have had to chase them for about 30 minutes and tie them up. But he was obedient, believing that his father would never do anything to harm him or hurt him. That is true trust. See, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. See, he's an example of the grace of God. See, he listened to his father, said, I need you to go to the cross, because if I don't, Sterling can't make it. If you don't go to the cross, Larry isn't going to be able to get into heaven. Chris and Barry. And he was in that garden and he had that cup in Mark 14, verse 36, and he said, "Let this cup pass. But not my will, but thy will be done." And he looked down in that cup, and you know what he saw in that cup? He saw all that I was. He saw the vileness, the filthy thoughts, the things that happen when no one else is looking, all that stuff in that glass, and he partook of that and became me at that cross. And as God was looking down upon his son, he saw the filth and the rotten that I was, and his son endured the cross. Why? For you! That grace may be poured out upon you, that he might be kind to you instead of an enemy. And reconciled to us by the death of his son. I know it's hard to do your ministry. I understand that completely. I understand that there's people, you know, I mean, hey, come on. Watch the television broadcast, never sending a dime. That's a fact. Can you imagine that? Getting all... I've had people write me and said, "I got saved from your broadcast. Not one dime ever came in." Watch the internet. We have people that literally watch the internet. Never gave them. There's some that you never had to tell to give. They just give automatically. Because it's their ministry. What's your ministry? What has God called you to do? And how good are you doing at it? Are you really striving with everything you've got in it? Romans chapter 8. Thought I forgot, didn't you? Verse 31. I love this. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There ain't anybody going to stop you down or slow you down. Hey, listen. It's the Lord you're working for. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, what? Freely give us what? Everything we got is from the Lord. Everything we have in our lives, our children, our wives, were given to us of the Lord. Everything. And you know what? If he wants to take it back, what are you going to do? You're going to have to let him take it back. It's his. You got that one right. See, he is listening. You know why you need to have your kids in church? Honestly. They will get it. I thought about Mrs. Gaines. She's one of my mentors. She's one of the most incredible human beings I've ever met in my life. Her and Miss Newton. Those two women. God, if there were just a room full of women like those two. Mrs. Gaines told me her ministry is to make sure all her grandkids come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she works at getting them there. She's been doing it for years. Through good times and bad times. She's so consistent, she's like a heartbeat of an athlete that has run the race. If you could just pick one person, don't look at me, look at people like Mrs. Gaines and Mrs. Newton that have done the job. If you could just get a hold of what it's all about, your ministry is so big in the eyes of the Lord. Say, well, it's just a little thing here. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. The men of this church ought to be dedicated to studying the book. Amen? And they ought to know it. You know why? Because how can you study and then not wash your wife with the Word? When was the last time you sat down and bathed your wife with the Word and said, let's have a Bible study, just you and me, honey, and let me teach? You know why you don't do that? You don't know enough to teach. Amen? So important. You know what? Wives need to be bathed in the Word. Amen? You know what? I guarantee you that women aren't concerned about sex. They're not worried about that kind of thing. They want their husband to listen to them and to love them and bathe them in the Word. I watch people get married. I've married people. And I thought, boy, that ain't even going to work out. Because they can't serve the Lord together. You know what the Bible says? It's better to be on a rooftop than in a house with a contentious woman. You know why she's contentious? You haven't taken the time to bathe her in the Word. It's your fault. Your ministry. And when you get before the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be judged on what you did with your wife. And all these proud grace believers that think they got rightly dividing down, that didn't do anything with their wife or their children, will be sadly disappointed that they'll lose some rewards there. I do believe that. I want you, hey, you know what I want out of the deal? I want Chris, listen to me very carefully. I want Terry, the men of this church, Sterling, listen to me. Wayne, listen to me. I want you to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and get every single reward you could possibly have. I'd like to see you before the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to visualize this. The Lord there, and you're down back, buried on your face, and He says, get up, I've got some crowns I want to put on your face. How you treated your wife was the most incredible thing I've ever seen. Here's the reward for being faithful in your ministry. You were such an incredible giver to the church. Here's a reward. And those people that you won to the Lord, here's a reward. And He'll pile those crowns on you, and I will sit there and rejoice in your rewards. And you could wear those for all eternity. But if you're like me, you know what you ought to do. You take them off after He puts them on. And you say, Lord, I wouldn't have gotten any of this without You. Will You wear my crowns? He'll take Your crowns and wear them in Your honor. And there'll be people that won't give up their crowns. They'll be stingy with them. And they'll go, look at Sterling. He doesn't have any crowns. Someone says, what do you mean he didn't have any crowns? See all those piled up on the Lord's head? Those are Sterling's. He gave them back to the one that loved him. See, that's what it's all about, guys. You're not working for rewards for yourself. You're not doing it for yourself. This ministry isn't about you. It's about a Savior who loved you and gave Himself for you. That one day when you get in front of Him and you don't know whether to stand or you don't know whether to fall, you don't know whether to be on your knees or talk at all, you don't even know what to do, as the song I Can Only Imagine says. I don't know, but I know that they're not my crowns. I would have never had anything had He not been so kind to me and gracious to me and incredible to me to die on a cross for me. That's why you're working for Him. That's why you give in the offering plate. That's why you show up on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's why you work hard when the church has a work day. That's why you show up and do all that. Not because you got to or of necessity or grudgingly. Because you know what you're doing it for. And you want so badly with all that's in you to honor Him. And give Him the glory. Boy, people have got this thing so about them. You know, religion has turned the whole thing about you. It's never been about you. Brenda's starting a women's thing. They want to get together and have some tea. And just get together and fellowship. How many women would like to do that? And show up? You know what? I'll tell you how the thing goes. I had a deacon's meeting back when we first started Grace Bible Church, and I decided the Lord will pick the deacon. Fair enough, right? So I made a bunch of events that we were going to meet at, all the men, and I said, look, if you're one of those, you're going to be faithful, you're going to be there every time. So we had it at the beginning, we started out with, what, 7 or 8 guys? And next thing you know, about 6 weeks down the way, only two are showing up. I said, well, God must have picked you two. One was Larry Burke and the other one was Merrill Yates. What about you? Tony, how about you? Carlton, how about you? How about you, Norm? Bill, how about you? What's your ministry? Are you really serious about the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you just playing church because it feels like you got to, or of a necessity? Or is it that you really love showing up and you love hearing the word preached and you love seeing people on the internet write notes in and you love hearing about their faith being built up and established? Why do you come? What's the point? What is he worthy of to you? Kind of crazy, isn't it? I wish I could play that song, The Motions. Because sometimes that's all we're doing is going through the motions. We're not really intense with our ministry and we're not on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I am. Who's with me? Who's fired up? Who's fired up?
Amen.
Come on. Who's fired up?
Amen.
Oh, I don't believe you. Come on. Who's fired up?
Amen.
You know? Are you fired up, really? Man, what a great opportunity, amen, we all have. We cheer on Auburn and we cheer on the Bulldogs and we cheer on the elephant and we cheer on the goats and the billy goats and the willy goats and, you know. How about it? Where does the Lord Jesus Christ fit in your life? Where is it? Is he like the least thing on your priority list? Well, I got to go do this, and I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Oh, it's Sunday. I was planning something special on Sunday. Well, we won't go to church that day because, well, we got other things to do that day. And then Monday, I've got a list of things to do. And Wednesday comes along and it's like, yeah, it's Wednesday. I've worked all day. I understand. I work full time, guys. I support myself. There hasn't been a dime of that money in that pot that's ever gone to me in 14 years. I support myself. You're not paying my salary. I show up because I like to be here. It's an honor to me. It's an honor to me. To preach the grace of God and the message of grace, it's an honor to me to do that. I'll never when Bronx says she got in the wheelbarrow. That's an honor to me. I love that. Renee just recently gotten saved. Deborah too. Norm, not too long ago. It's the greatest thing I've ever seen. See, God's still saving people because of you. And sometimes in spite of you. Amen? Oh, man, I feel such an honor and blessing to be able to teach and preach the Word of God. I think this is one of the greatest ministries that God's ever put on the planet. Not us in just a purpose, but the purpose of grace. I love the fact of knowing my Bible. I like knowing who my apostle is. I like know how many baptisms there are. What a relief. Amen? And it's kind of like that old thing, plop, plop, fizz, fizz, oh, what a relief it is. When you finally found out the truth, it's like, whoa, this is cool. That's how it should be. I love you guys. But I want you for the next 90 days to commit like you've never committed to the Lord. Sundays and Wednesday. I want you to make a commitment right now before the Lord Jesus Christ that you're going to do everything you can to be here and be active and be part of it like you've never done ever before in your life for 90 days. That's 3 months. Can you do that? No miss. 90 days. Can you all make that kind of commitment? Who can make that kind of commitment? There's a couple. All right? Do it like you've never done it before. And step up to the plate of being the person that God wants you to be. Because that's all I want. When it comes time to that reward, I want to be standing next to Jim when it's so piled high you can't even lift it to give it to the Lord. Or Carlton. His will be so huge, it'll be like me and Jim will both have to help him. That's what I want. I don't want you to lack anything. And you know how long that will last? All eternity. All eternity you'll be noted as the person that really poured it on. They say, well, who's Dale? You know, Dale, the pourer of honor. Dale did what? He poured it on. You should have seen Dale. He was tearing it up. Where is he? That guy? Yeah. You ought to have seen him. Man, there's Larry. Not Larry the man. Yeah, that's the man, Larry. I heard about him 20 eons ago. I finally get to meet. Man, he is kind of small, isn't he? Yeah, but he's the man. He's the man. You know, David wasn't real tall up against Goliath, amen? Right? But he was the man. Well, Larry's the new dispensational. He's the man. Then there's Tony the tiger. They'll go, where's Tony the tiger? And I say, I know him personally. Amen. For all eternity, Sterling the silver. But you don't want to be Bob the braggadocious one. Amen. It always said and never did anything. Turn up your ministry. Fire it up. Let me hear you. Fire it up. You are an amazing human being before the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that He hasn't given you. You have all the measure of faith that you need. He has dealt to every man the measure of faith. It's not according to what you have not. It's according to what you have that He wants you to work with. Isn't that incredible? I hope I've inspired you to be something better today than you were yesterday. I hope somehow you can see that the grace of God is alive within the believers. And you know what? Listen, let me tell you what. Today can be a different day. You know what? You're called into the ministry. Every one of you are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Amen. So with that, let's see how good of eaters you are. Why don't you all stand up to be dismissed.